Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to you this day. We quiet our hearts and our minds to pay attention, to really pay attention to what you have to say to us today. Fill us with your word so that we understand by your Holy Spirit that having heard your word, we may live lives worthy of you and pleasing to you in every way. Use me, O Lord, as your vessel to proclaim your word as you would have it this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was a elementary school teacher, sixth grade teacher, and she stood up in front of her class one day and she said, "A wealthy man dies and leaves $10 million. One-fifth is to go to his wife, one-fifth is to go to his son, one-sixth to his butler, and the rest to charity. Now, what does each get?" Long silence. Finally, in the back of the room, Joey raises his hand just a little bit, and the teacher calls on him and says, "Yes, Joey, what is the answer?" And Joey very solemnly says, "A lawyer." Which is true, where there is a will, there is often a lawsuit. Today, Jesus encounters a lawyer who comes up to him to test him. Scripture clearly tells us that this is a test. And here's this lawyer posing us the question, "Behold, the lawyer stood up to put him to the test." Now, that's probably not going to be the last time that a lawyer phrased a trick question. What must I do to have eternal life? What must I do? Now, right away, we know that this man was a Pharisee, because the Pharisees believed in eternal life. The Sadducees didn't. So we know he is a Pharisee. He is a student of the law. And Jesus knows that a Pharisee spends hours and years studying the law. So he asks him, "What is written?" And the man responds, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." This is a direct quote from the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy. It was part of the Shema, a prayer that was often used as part of Jewish worship. And Jesus says, "Excellent, you're correct. If you were a teacher, you would have given him an A+, probably." The question had been asked and the answer had been given. You would think that the man would be content and would turn and go away. But no, he hangs around and he asked another question, desiring to justify himself. That's an important phrase in here, desiring to justify himself. He asks, "Who is my neighbor?" Here is someone who doesn't just want to know the answer to the first question, but he wants a little clarification. The question is as old as Genesis. Am I my brother's keeper? People wanting to know, what are the limits to my love? When can I stop loving? That's the point of this question, I believe. It's not so much how many do I have to love, but when can I stop? What are the boundaries of my love? That's the question I think this man is posing. And Jesus does not answer that question directly. Instead, he tells a story. And he tells a story about a rich man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. We can surmise that this man was a Jew because he was traveling right through the heart of Judea. He had probably been to Jerusalem to worship, and now he's going back to Jericho. If you think of your geography, Jericho is in the Jordan Valley. To the east is the Jordan River, and to the other way around. To the west is the Jordan River, and to the east is Jerusalem. Jerusalem and Jericho are about 17 miles apart. Jerusalem is 2,500 miles above sea level. Jericho, on the other hand, is 850 feet below sea level. It is the lowest part of Earth that is not underwater. I learned that this week. The lowest part of Earth that is not underwater. So when we read he is going down the road, I think we can literally interpret that he was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, which means the priest was finished with his tour of duty in the temple. A lot of commentators will say, well, he was on the way to Jerusalem to serve in the temple, and if he touched a dead person, he wouldn't be able to serve in the temple. He'd be unclean. I don't think that's what happened. After studying the geography this week, I believe that he was going from Jerusalem down, literally, to Jericho. He was heading home. And I'll grant that he may have been anxious to get home after being gone for a while, serving in the temple. But he wasn't on his way to serve, I do not believe. Some people will disagree with me. And that's okay. I don't pretend to be an expert. I just try and interpret what I read. The particular traveler in this story fell victim to robbers on this road, which was not unusual. This road was nicknamed the Bloody Pass. Robbers were up and down it. It was crooked, it was narrow, there were caves all around, big rocks, turns in the road, and oftentimes when you got to a turn in the road, the robbers would be waiting right there for you. And by the time you saw them and realized you were in danger, it was too late. You couldn't escape. They would surround you. And sometimes one of them would be a decoy, lay down in the road so that you would come over and check them out. And then they would pounce on you. It was a very, very treacherous road. And some people have even said, well, the man deserved it. He shouldn't have gone down that road by himself in the first place. Let's not argue that point one way or the other. No one deserves something like this. So the first passerby so happens to be a priest. Headed home, I believe. And he sees the man by the road, but just passes on by. Doesn't stop. The second one to come along is a Levite. Levites were born in the tribe to serve the Lord in the temple, to serve the religious needs of the people. So here was a man who virtually grew up in and around the temple, and he too sees the man lying by the road. Can't help but see that he's naked and beaten and bleeding, and he passes by as well. The third person to come along is a Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans and the Jews, as you well remember, held a great bit of enmity between each other. They hated each other because of their places of worship. In Samaria, the Samaritans believed that the proper place of worship was in Samaria. And the Judeans believed the proper place of worship was Jerusalem. So they had great conflicts over this issue and hated each other. So here's the Samaritan that comes along. And he sees this man by the road. Does he know he's a Jew? Does he know he's not a Samaritan? We don't know the answer to that, but I don't think he would know. The man wasn't wearing any clothes to show what his status in life would have been at all. He was bruised and beaten and in need of help, which the Samaritan renders. Now, how many of you watched back in the 1990s the Seinfeld show? Did any of you watch that regularly? Did you see the last episode in 1998? They're out on the street, and their plane has run into trouble, so they're wandering around this quaint little New England town, and one of them has a camera recorder, and they see someone hijacking a car, and they take a picture of it. And they stand around talking and looking and watching 10 feet away from this robbery taking place. And as soon as it's over, one of them nudges somebody and says, let's go get something to eat. And they start to walk off. And the policeman comes up and he says, hold it, hold it. You're under arrest. Why are we under arrest? Well, for failing to abide with Article 223-7 of the Lakeland County Penal Code. What is that? I never heard of it. We didn't do anything. The policeman says, that's exactly right. This law says that you must provide aid when it is at all possible. And you didn't do a thing. You didn't even shout for help. You just took a picture and watched this happen, and now you're ready to go off and eat. So they're arrested. And the scene ends, the whole series ends, with these four main characters in jail serving their time for disobeying this law. They thought it was a new law. They'd never heard of it. That law is as old as Genesis. It came down off the mountain with Moses. That law, the Ten Commandments, how we treat each other, wasn't a new law. It's always been there. That series ended revealing that so much of what they had presented in that show was ridicule. Just plain ridicule, ridiculing other people, not reaching out and caring. Now, I can't help but wonder if the script for that final episode wasn't taken from this scripture right here, this story of the Good Samaritan, the one who helped. Now, don't sit there and think, oh, well, Jesus is just telling us to be friendly to everybody. That's not the point. Friendly, yes, but a little bit more than that. He's asking the expert in law to treat not just his friends, not just the people in his own town, not just the people in his own country, but to treat everyone, even his enemies, with care, with tenderness, with love. Love your enemies. That's what he's teaching here. Not just the casual, oh yeah, you're my friend, I'll be nice to you. But going that literal extra mile, loving your enemies, putting aside your feelings, maybe even hatred for someone. If the love of God is in your heart, you can do this. It takes courage sometimes, but you can do this because you have God's love in your heart. Now, I'm convinced that this story is not just about loving, but it's about breaking down the barriers that we put up. I'm not going to love this person because they're from a different town. They're of a different faith. They don't agree with me politically. They're different. So I don't have to love that person. I can just kind of keep them at a distance and be polite. That's not what Jesus is saying here. What does the Samaritan do? He goes over and he ministers to the person. He pours oil on his wounds. He pours wine on his wounds, the antiseptics of the day. And he lifts him up on his very own donkey to take him to an inn. And he pays the innkeeper to look after him and says, I'll be back through, and if there's any extra expense, I'll pay that too. He's not just offering a token pat on the head. He's offering much needed assistance to someone who has been beaten and stripped and robbed. And there is a Samaritan, the most unlikely of the three travelers to have stopped. Now, an interesting thing has happened by the time we get to the end of this story. The lawyer has asked a question which in effect means, what's the outer parameter of my responsibility? How far do I have to go? When can I stop loving? And what's the answer? Go and do likewise. You never stop. You keep going. The answer that Jesus gives in this parable is, you're asking the wrong question, actually. The question is not, who is my neighbor? It doesn't matter who your neighbor is. The question is, who are you? Are you a neighbor? Not the other person. It's not about the other person. It's about you and me. Who are we? Are we the neighbor? Are we the neighbors to those around us who are hurting, who are in need? Maybe the people that have that stiff upper lip and look like they're doing just fine, and maybe they're trembling inside. And maybe just a pat on the shoulder or the stroke of an arm is just what they need today. Maybe. I heard Linda say earlier, if I had a dollar for every hug, I'd be a millionaire. We are all millionaires, my friends, because of the love in Christ that we share with each other. The Pharisee was looking for where he could stop loving. And Jesus says, we don't look at the outer edges of where we stop. We look at the center. We look at the heart, where love begins. It has no end when it comes from the heart. It's difficult sometimes to stop and to be sensitive. We want to say, that's not my neighbor. That's not even anybody I know. Well, the message from Jesus is, that doesn't matter. The question isn't who is that person, but the question is, who are you? Are you a neighbor? Are you a neighbor to the lost and the lonely? Are you a neighbor to the neglected, to the hungry, to the unemployed? Are you a neighbor to those in need? Are you a neighbor yourself? Jesus is saying it's not important who the other person is. If God's love dwells within us, then our love is for all. No matter who he or she may be, because the question is, who are you and I? Thanks be to God. Amen.